Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, wherever you are listening, just settle in, sit down. You're going to think again about what you think you know. And this is a fascinating conversation based on an extraordinary piece in The Atlantic. It's called The Consequences of the Serengeti Land Grab. So in the name of conservation, the African government has snatched hundreds of acres of land away from its indigenous people, the Maasai. The question then becomes, is boosted tourism worth the death of a culture? Does the government have the right to do this? Who are the stakeholders and whose land is it anyway? And this is just an extraordinary piece. Really thrilled to have joining us on the program for the first time, Stephanie McCrumman, staff writer at The Atlantic. She's won numerous awards for her political journalism, two George Polk Awards and a Pulitzer Prize. Not a bad resume, but she's a great writer. And this is a piece you should just go absorb. It's the only way I can describe it. You don't just read it. You have to experience it. And Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for that nice introduction.
So give us, for our listeners who didn't wake up this morning thinking about the Serengeti and the Maasai, give us a perspective of what led you to this, and give us the real essence of the issue.
Sure. My previous one of my previous jobs was to be a foreign correspondent in East Africa. So I had written about issues similar to this in the past and heard of what was happening and in Tanzania. So the story is about what's unfolding in northern Tanzania with regard to the Maasai. And the Maasai are a pastoralist people. They're cattle people. So their culture, their way of life, their livelihood revolves around keeping cattle. And they migrated into northern Tanzania approximately 400 years ago. And they settled in this extraordinarily lush land that they called Serengeti, which in the Ma language means the place where the land runs on forever, and is now, of course, more familiarly known as Serengeti. So they settled in this area, and then really ever since the colonial period in the 1940s, 50s, in this time zone, their history really has been a history of trying to hang on to this land. So the British colonial authorities were sort of the first ones to evict the Maasai. They evicted the Maasai out of, what is now Serengeti National Park. So the Maasai people live currently, there are about 200,000 people who live in and around this tourist zone. Perhaps some of your listeners may have been lucky enough to go on a safari, and they would know the Maasai people as people who wear bright red shawls and lots of beads, and they often serve as guides on safaris in this part of Tanzania and Kenya, I should say, as well. But the Maasai have really come into conflict with the safari industry, with conservation groups, and successive Tanzanian governments in recent decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so interesting, and you tell the story in such a rich way in terms of how they're trying to hold on to that and what that looks like, and the fact that they're being told by these groups that you just named, between the governments, the conservation groups, the safari groups, that they're the problem in all of this. And I just have to read this. I'm going to quote you to yourself.
Sure.
Because it's so good. And I want our listeners to get this, that the reality is that the Maasai have been stewards, integral in creating the very ecosystem. And you also point out that the same can be said of a lot of indigenous groups around the world who are natural conservationists.
Yeah, so I'm so happy that that you're keying in on this point, because the image that gets sold very often of the Serengeti ecosystem and many parts of the world, including, I should say, you know, places like the Yosemite Valley in the United States. But the image that gets sold is, in a way, is that this is a primordial landscape, that this is somehow a pre-human landscape that has, you know, sort of untouched, so that when you see it, you're just looking at, you know, unbridled, you know, nature before humans came. The reality is closer to, you know, Serengeti is more like a tended landscape. The Maasai lived there for 400 years. And of course, they're being cattle people. They need grasses. So their culture really revolves around maintaining this ecosystem. They have very intricate land management systems traditionally. So they do controlled burns. They rotate grasses. They have rules around not cutting down trees and moving their cattle during, you know, when the wildebeest are in their calving season. They will move away because they know the wildebeest carry a certain disease. It's deadly to cattle. So during that time. And so, you know, so the true, you know, when we see the Serengeti on a documentary film or these breathtaking photos, we're really looking at a landscape that the Maasai had a very serious hand in creating. The grasses that their cattle need are also the grasses that, you know, zebras need, antelope, you know, these other wild animals. And so this is, as you said, yes, this is true of many indigenous groups around the world.
Yeah, and I just think that's something we always have to come back to, that the people who are closest to the land are usually the best stewards of the land because they get it. And too often we make it complicated and have some government or some agency say, no, we know better.
Right, right. And so really from, you know, if you're an indigenous person and the Maasai consider themselves to be an indigenous people, and you hear that, you know, oh, this land is going to be walled off in the name of conservation, you know, you think, well, what does that mean? We were conserving it. So they hear this word, they often consider it to be synonymous with land grab, some kind of a land grab or something that in any case is going to cause them trouble. And that is indeed, you know, what is happening in northern Tanzania, that many thousands of square miles of land are being set aside in the name of conservation, which turns out to mean tourism, which turns out to mean a hunting playground for the Dubai royal family, for example, in one case that I wrote about.
Yeah, that is so fascinating. This is such a rich read. We could spend like 2 hours going through just the stories that you're painting there. Give us one thing as you've gone through this whole process. Kind of give us what's your therefore what out of this in terms of where things are and what you hope to see as this battle and this tension continues.
Well, I mean, I should say, you know, I can, you know, rather channel, you know, what Maasai leaders would hope to see, or maybe is more appropriate. And you know, the Maasai are not against tourism at all, or tourists. And I hope that the story, you know, the story did not intend to sort of vilify tourists at all, who were, after all, you know, anyone would be lucky to see this, this incredible landscape and animals in this place. And meet the Maasai as well. So the Maasai would hope to be part of the solution in northern Tanzania. They want to be consulted. They want to be, you know, have their rights respected. And they, you know, they would like to, you know, to see tourism flourish. And they would also like to see their culture flourish as well. And you know, they think that is very much possible, and that what is happening right now in northern Tanzania is really, it really just doesn't have to be that way, that it's unnecessary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's such a great example of getting lost in all of the complexities of it all and redefining of, I mean, everyone hears conservation and everyone cheers, and we should. That's an important thing.
Sure.
But when we redefine it, and it's like you said, it's safari and it's this, that, and the other, it sort of loses that context, which usually leads us to really bad spaces. Again, this is so rich. You need to just go sit down and read this today. It'll change your perspective, and it will give you perspective. Maybe in some ways that will surprise you. Stephanie McCrumman, staff writer at The Atlantic. You can check it out at theatlantic.com. And this is the part of their magazine coming up for May as well. And Stephanie, we really appreciate you joining us, and fabulous writing, beautiful perspective. Thanks so much for sharing it with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. We'll step aside for one last break. It's a brilliant piece. It will literally, the writing will transport you to the Serengeti. And you'll see the lives of the Maasai, what they're doing, what they're up against, and what conservation really means in the end. Stick around. We'll be right back.